Welcome once again to Understanding Your Bible. I appreciate you tuning in, and again, I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I hope there will be some information here that you can use and that will help you to understand your Bible more effectively. There are certain keys that I believe that if we would apply to the Scriptures, will open up the Scriptures. As I mention often, practically every broadcast, many people have the idea that the Scriptures are very difficult to understand, and that's because they fail to distinguish between the doctrine written directly to them and all the other doctrine in the Bible. We use a chart to illustrate this truth, and the chart basically breaks the books of the Bible down in the same order in which they are written. Of course, your New Testament starts with the book of Matthew, and you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the first coming of Christ, we have His earthly ministry, and we have the doctrine that's associated with the kingdom. Jesus Christ went forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He committed that to the 12. They said they were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And during that time, the law of Moses was in effect. After the cross, Jesus Christ sends forth the 12, and they're preaching that same gospel and carrying out that ministry. But in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and the next 13 books in your Bible are the books written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. In those books, we find the gospel of the grace of God. We find it was committed to Paul. We find that Paul's the Apostle to the Gentiles. We find that he's given the dispensation of the grace of God. And we find the truth for the church, the body of Christ. Then in the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation, we have the teaching concerning the coming kingdom, the tribulation, and so forth, and that doctrine over there will match the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, that in a nutshell is what we mean by rightly dividing the word of truth. We've been looking over the last couple of weeks at in a study called The Teachings of Christ. And the reason I call it The Teachings of Christ is because in the studies previous, we talked about the revelations given to the Apostle Paul. And many times people believe that we put too much emphasis on the doctrine given to Paul. But what we're seeing in these studies and what we saw last week is that the teachings of Christ are the teachings given to the Apostle Paul, and those are the present teachings of Christ. The past teachings of Christ were in association with the kingdom, with the nation Israel. We find those teachings in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those teachings have to do with life in that kingdom. We looked at many things in the first study that Jesus Christ taught that people today who say they believe in following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John don't really put in practice. For example, he said, "Lay not up for yourself treasure upon earth." And yet most everybody that says they believe in following the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they even believe that that doctrine is for the church, the body of Christ, they do lay up for themselves treasures upon earth. And there's many other illustrations. If you would just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll see that much of that doctrine today is not being practiced by most people in the church, the body of Christ. So the past teachings of Christ are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that teaching was conveyed to the 12, and it continued into the book of Acts, Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, until Stephen's message was rejected. He was stoned to death. And in Acts 9, God saved the Apostle Paul. So in the present teachings of Christ, we see that there are several things that are new. Last week, we saw that we have a new apostle. That apostle is the Apostle Paul. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, Romans 15, he said, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles." In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, "Be ye followers of me." In Romans chapter 16, he said there's three ways that we're to be established. Number one, according to his gospel. He said, according to my gospel. That is the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. He said we're to be established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation mystery. And we're to be established by the Scriptures. And so, the thing that we want to look at today is something else that is new in this dispensation of the grace of God. We have a new apostle, and with that new apostle, the church has a new commission. Now, I know that most people today in Christianity and in religion preach that we're to fulfill the Great Commission. And while there are words in the Great Commission that we could certainly use as instructional, for example, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, is exactly what we're to do. But what I want you to see today is that we have a new commission. We have a different commission, and it's different from that which God, or which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the 12. I want you to look at these commissions, first of all, in Matthew chapter 28, and then in Mark chapter 16. In Matthew 28, as Jesus Christ, as the book concludes there, it says in verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then in Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, as I said, most of Christianity believes that these commissions, that this commission, the Great Commission, as it's called, is the commission that's in effect today. But I want to show you, as I did before in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the doctrine of those commissions is not being followed by most people. People simply pick and choose the part of it that they want to follow. The reason that those commissions today are not followed strictly according to the Scriptures is because they're not really our commission. And when I say our commission, I'm talking about saved people today have a commission that was given through the Apostle Paul and by the Lord Jesus Christ that is not the Great Commission of Matthew 28 and Mark chapter 16. Several things about this. First of all, I want you to notice that this commission was given to the 12. He said unto them, well, who's he talking to? Verse 14, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11. Now, we saw last week in Acts chapter 1 that Matthias was chosen to be the 12th disciple. But Matthias was present when these words were spoken. How do we know that? Because Acts chapter 1 says that the one that was to be chosen to replace Judas had to be someone that had accompanied with them all the time that Jesus Christ went in and out among them. So you can read that in Acts chapter 1. So when Jesus Christ says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," that commission is to the 12. He said in Matthew chapter 24, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come." And we'll look at that in a moment. But I want you to notice that this gospel, or this commission rather, is given to the 12. It is very specific as to what they are to do. He said, "Go into all the world," Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that gospel is the gospel that they had been preaching all along. In Matthew 10, he said, "Go not to the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The good news of the kingdom is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that is the gospel that was preached by the 12 that Jesus Christ taught them to teach. It included water baptism. It included keeping the commandments. Jesus Christ said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And so when this commission was given, it was given to the 12 disciples. But when Paul received his commission, and we read about this last week in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said his commission was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says there in Acts chapter 20 that his ministry is to testify that gospel. And we found that gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the gospel then is the gospel of the kingdom as far as the 12 are concerned. It's the gospel of the grace of God where Paul is concerned. And they are not the same. Both of them include the fact that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and the Messiah. But Paul's gospel goes beyond that and says that this man, Christ Jesus, died for our sins. And the door of salvation was open to all men, according to Ephesians chapter 2, through the gospel given to the Apostle Paul. So that commission then is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the gospel that's being referenced there is the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel or this commission in in Mark chapter 16 and Matthew 28, it included water baptism. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." In Mark chapter 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And you know, I was part of a religious denomination at one time that had a very difficult time with these verses. And when I say a difficult time, what I mean is that that denominational system I was a part of, they believed that water baptism was not necessary for salvation. But the verses pose a real problem. Because he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Well, I want you to notice over in Acts chapter 2 that that's exactly the gospel that Peter preached. In Acts 2:38, he said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, that preaching there was in a direct obedience to the instruction that Jesus Christ gave them. He said in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So once Christ had died on the cross, been buried and raised again, the Great Commission was to go to all nations and preach the gospel, but it was to begin at Jerusalem. So what do we find? Over in Acts chapter 1, that's exactly what they did. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Notice that there was a direct order associated with this commission. While people today that say they believe the Great Commission do not begin their ministry with the Jew, they don't begin it in Jerusalem. Why, the Apostle Paul said, the gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. He said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he also said that that gospel was that Christ died for all men. And that salvation is on the basis of his grace. So they began in Jerusalem. Then they were to go out from there, and all nations were to be preached to this gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel is that which God was going to use to bring about salvation of the nations. But that included the Gentiles. It would come to God through the nation Israel. Whereas when Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, he said, "You are strangers from the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world." So the commission of Mark 16 and Matthew 28, number one, it was to the 12. Number two, the gospel preached was the gospel of the kingdom. And number three, that commission included water baptism for the remission of sins. Now, there's a verse in the Bible that clearly states, will clearly show us that the Apostle Paul was not operating under that commission. And again, it's very vital, it's important that we believe the Bible means exactly what it says. You see, when Jesus Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," is a statement of fact. It's not those that believe and are baptized as a testimony of salvation. He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Say, do you believe baptismal regeneration? Yes, for the nation Israel, but not today. You see, those that teach baptismal regeneration, they simply have a doctrine that's been misplaced from a different dispensation, and they're preaching it as though it were doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, which it is not. water baptism has absolutely no part in our salvation today. As a matter of fact, we're going to do a study during this series of studies on water baptism, and we'll see that it was associated totally and completely with the nation Israel. Say, but Paul baptized. Yes, he did, but he did it in the early part of his ministry when he said he became all things to all men. But Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, that tells us that Paul was not operating under the Great Commission. Remember now, in Matthew 28, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." That was not a suggestion. That was not optional. They were to go forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom, baptizing. Without a doubt, that was part of the commission. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now, I would be the first to acknowledge that Paul says earlier in the chapter there that, yes, he baptized some. But he did that, as I mentioned a moment ago, because of what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, that he became all things to all men. But he says emphatically that he was not sent to baptize, and the 12 could have never said that and been speaking truth. Because they were sent to baptize, he said, "Go into all the world, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." And he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You see, the Apostle Paul wrote later in the book of Ephesians, and he tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, when we do our study on baptism, we will see that that one baptism is one baptism for the church, the body of Christ. There are far more baptisms of that in the Bible, but there's only one for the church, the body of Christ, and that spirit baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one spirit are you all baptized into one body." So the Lord Jesus Christ gave the commission to the 12. That commission was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That commission was to baptize, and he said, "Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved." Not only that, I want you to notice again in Matthew 28 that that commission was a commission of teaching people to observe all things whatsoever the Lord commanded them. Notice again in Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now, listen, folks, let's be real honest. People do not teach today, people that say they're fulfilling the Great Commission, the majority of those people do not teach people all things that the Lord taught the disciples. How do I know that? Look in Matthew chapter 23. You see, there are multitudes of people today that preach that salvation is by grace, through faith, that we're not under the law, but they also teach that we are to follow the Great Commission. Well, we read this in one of our studies a couple of weeks ago in Matthew 23, verse 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples." Notice what he said. "Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." That is a emphatic, proof positive statement that Jesus Christ taught the 12 to keep the law. He said, "Whatsoever they teach you, whatever did you observe, that observe and do." Well, today, fundamentalist, Bible-believing people that are preaching salvation by grace through faith are not teaching people to observe all things that the Lord taught the disciples to observe, because he taught them to observe the law. So I know that this Great Commission, the so-called Great Commission, is not the commission that people are really following. Oh, they'll take the part about going therefore and teach all nations. Or they'll take part about, you know, over there in Mark 16, about going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And those things we should do. But the commission should be distinguished as different from the commission given for the church, the body of Christ, through the Apostle Paul. This commission includes the gospel of the kingdom. It starts with the nation of Israel in Jerusalem. He said the children must first be fed. After Israel was saved as a nation, they were to go out into all the world and evangelize the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But that did not happen. God postponed and put off this commission and started something brand new with the salvation of the Apostle Paul. And what he started that was new was the church, the body of Christ. And so Paul is the new apostle, and with that new apostle, there is a new commission. Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 7, whereas Christ taught the 12 to observe the law of Moses, and he said to teach others to observe that, Paul said in Romans 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You see, the fact is that the Apostle Paul makes very clear that we're not under the law. And so Paul's commission, we find over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as in many other verses, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 kind of summarizes what our ministry is as the church, the body of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, there's a wonderful truth that is conveyed here that people need to know. And it is our job as ministers of the gospel of the grace of God to convey this to people. They need to know this far more than they need to know about joining the church, being baptized, walking the aisle, repenting of their sins, or anything else. This is a truth that they need to know, and Paul makes it very clear, the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear through Paul, that this truth is one that we should convey to all men. Notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, notice, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what is that? Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Why? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this is the commission. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. You see, as Christ ascended there into the heavens, he told the 12, he said, you're to begin at Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and you're to preach, as according to Luke 24, repentance of sin, remission by water baptism, so forth and so on. That's exactly what they did. But God, the next event in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, on God's prophetic timetable was the tribulation. God postponed that time period and brought in the dispensation of the grace of God with the salvation of Paul. So today, our great commission is this commission that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is not limited to beginning with Jerusalem or the Jew or any other individual. It is to all men. He said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You see, the good news is that when Christ hung on that cross and died on that cross, God made him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And our commission as saved people is to convey the truth to people that God has reconciled them to himself by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. You see, it is not a message of condemnation. It's not a message that if you do bad, God's going to zap you dead or bring some terrible thing upon you. The truth is, or the good news is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Colossians 2:13 says, he has forgiven us all trespasses. And Paul says, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. In other words, that truth that God brought about of his Son being the reconciliation for all men now needs to be conveyed to people. And so our commission is not to teach them to keep the law, as Christ taught his disciples. It's not to teach them to be baptized. It's not to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It is simply to preach the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The gospel of the gospel of the grace of God, the good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. You see, folks, it's not a blasphemous thing to say we're not under that great commission. We're under a greater commission. And that commission is the commission of simply preaching the truth of the gospel. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. You see, the good news is your sins are not the issue. Your sins have all been paid for. They were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. God has already, in his mind, reconciled you to himself by the death of his Son. But Paul says, be ye reconciled unto God. That is, accept the reconciliation that's been provided for you. The new commission is the commission of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. That's the gospel that will get people saved today. And you can be saved by believing that gospel if you'll trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.